Hi, for anyone who's just recently joined the call, we're going to go ahead and wait until about 2 minutes after before we go ahead and begin, so that we have everybody who has set up for the webinar and make sure that everybody can see the screen. If you have any questions, just let me know. I should also let you know that you're in listen speak mode, so we're treating this as a meeting, and we would ask for questions rather than holding them. If you have a question, just let me know. So I'm going to go ahead and put you on mute for a few seconds.
Were you able to connect okay?
No.
It took me a little while to get up. It just...
Please install the updated Adobe. Well, maybe.
Oh, okay. I didn't have to do that, but...
Well, that's what we're going to do. Let's see. Hygiene. Want me to go through the around?
Hey folks, if you are having a problem connecting to Adobe Connect, I am hoping that I am clear enough if you take notes that it may not be necessary, and if that's the case, I will share my email address and send you a copy of the presentation if you would like that as well. And we do plan on recording the session that we'll put out on YouTube for you to see and listen to, put everything together. Alrighty. All right, it's at 2 minutes after, and in order to honor your time, we will go ahead and get started. We just have a little bit of housekeeping comments. Be aware that the audio of this session will be recorded so that you can share it with other folks in the industry. The recording session will be made available, we're hoping, sometime the week after next. Additionally, we are going to be recording a YouTube presentation that will be made available on the NAIC website industry tab. The exact location where, I'm not sure, but it will not be a live recording of a session. We'll be working with the ACLI for notification on how to access that recording and maybe even sending it out as a link to our insurers. I should note that we are leaving the microphones open for the session. We would encourage you to ask questions as they come up right until I show the questions screens. If you do have a question, I would ask that you provide your name and the company you represent. And that way, I have a scribe in the room to help us with that. And in our room, I'll introduce, I have Chris Witt, who's the project manager for the Life Insurance Policy Locator, Lois Alexander, and your
Market Regulation Manager.
And I'm Kim Myers. I am the business analyst on the project. So we're going to go ahead and get started. Really get started. The webinar objectives that we have are first an overview of the project. This will include an overview of phase one of the life insurance policy locator that we have built for our consumer use. We're going to review potential screen designs. And these are mock-ups and are just there for discussion purposes only. However, the data elements that we are presenting are critical to the requirements gathering, and when we get into those discussions, if you have questions, please feel free to ask. Our goal is to finalize the requirements by September 15th for the consumer application. That's been done. And September 30th for the industry portion of the application, which is why it is so critical to get our requirements confirmed and finalized as quickly as possible. We're asking for your help in doing that, sharing with your friends and anyone for our project. So we are going to be, we're going to be talking about the existing application that we put out. Right. The website that you'd be accessing is obviously the NAIC.org web app, and then you'll select the consumer tab, which I have circled here, which will get you to the application itself. You'll click on the artwork, that life insurance policy locator, and it will bring you to a map. And the application was designed to be mobile friendly, so you're probably wondering why I have a map and this little drop-down box. Well, the reason is because when this is rendered on a small mobile device, the map does not show, so you're forced to use a drop-down box. Honestly, sometimes for the smaller states, smaller Northeast states. Do I have someone on hold? Or I'm picking up some background noise.
I think somebody did go on hold.
Thank you.
Thanks. But you'll either click on the state abbreviation or select from the drop-down box. And what you will find is that states have selected several options for presentation to the consumer. The first option is a link to a URL, which will link to their own website, We have 17 states that do this today. We have another two states that will link to another website to give the consumer some information. The second option the states had was to provide an email to allow the consumer to complete a request form that would be mailed to typically a general email box at the Department of Insurance. The third option is to provide a phone number, and you'll get a pop-up box, and we'll go over what's contained in that pop-up box. And the fourth is just to say, hey, the NAIC is building something.
This is a webinar, but I can't hear anything.
Headphones?
Are they plugged in?
No. From the left there.
No, but I can't hear anything.
I understand that, but it might be that it's too low.
No, it's not.
This is the first report.
Kim, you might tell people to call into the number. They can hear better in the number than on the webinar.
Oh, that is a true statement. I'm going to go ahead. Do you have that? I did not bring the phone number with me. Let me see if I could easily access it.
Well, if they register, that's how they get the phone number, the access code and the phone number.
Right.
So they have to click on the link and register, and then once you register with your IP code, then you'll be able to go ahead and listen in, I believe.
Yeah, we have the Adobe Connect sound turned off.
So you have to link in through Diamond Pass with your registration. Okay? Yes?
Over one more time how to get onto the webinar, the web link.
The web link is what you're missing?
It's in the email that was sent to you.
Okay. You're going to go to Adobe Connect. Did I bring...
I'm trying here to pull it up.
We'll pull it up for you here real quickly and get you that. Oh, I really don't want to share my email.
It's on the email that you all received about the webinar. It's at the bottom of the page, right below signing up for the registration. There's a link just below. It says web link.
Hi, everyone. This is Stephanie Hufford from Transamerica. And in my calendar invite, I don't have a link either. There's
okay.
No link in here.
It's not in the calendar invite. It's in the actual note that you got that says the announcing the conference registration.
Right.
It's right there.
Okay. So
this is Donna Peterson from Catholic Financial, and it's not on my confirmation at all in the email I got.
No, this would have been from Lois Alexander, and I will give it to you. Have you all got get a pen or something? It's what do we got up on the screen now? So it's http://naic.adobeconnect.com/r6fif43oub/.
Could you repeat that a little slower?
Sure. It's http://naic.adobeconnect.com/r6fif, and that's F as in Frank, F-I-F, 43-O-U-O-B, as in boy, /. Right. And if you've got your screen up, it says on the...
I didn't have my desktop shared.
Okay. Oh, you didn't. Oh, I see.
And it didn't make sense because they can't get into it. So.
Okay. No worries. Do you need it repeated again or have you got it?
Could you repeat that one more time?
Sure.
Please.
It's naic.adobeconnect.com/r6, F as in Frank, I as in Igloo, F as in Frank, 4-3, O as in Oscar, U as in under, or Unger, O as in Oscar, B as in boy, /.
I think, hi, this is Wendy Swansky with John Hancock. I think you're missing a series of numbers. How about if anybody just give me your email address and I'll send you the link. That's easier. If anybody wants the link, I can send you a quick email with it.
An email with your address would be nice because I got screen not found with what you gave us.
Yep.
This is
okay,
Donna,
what's your email
Catholic
address?
Financial. Donna.Peterson@CatholicFinancialLife.org.
Hang on, Donna. Two N's or one?
Two N's. O-N for Peterson.
Okay.
Catholic Financial Life is all one word, .org.
Catholic Financial Life?
Correct.
All right, I'll send it right over.
Thank you.
This is Ashley Beaudry. For those of you who are ACLI members, the email that Kim and Lois are talking about would have come from me. So if you search in your email, my name is the one to search, and it has the link in there.
Thank you, Ashley.
And some of you would have gotten it from me. That's Lois Alexander. So
are we okay with moving on? Okay, we're going to go ahead and move on. So for those clients, you'll see a jurisdiction drop-down box if you've chosen to go that way. If I chose the state of Missouri, you're going to end up being redirected to Missouri's state-specific application. This is an example of one of those states. If you were redirected to Wyoming or Washington, they do not actually have a lost policy locator process in place for life insurance policies. So it will take you to a page that helps the consumer in order to provide the consumer as much information as possible. If you were one of the seven states that decided that they would send an email, you're going to end up seeing this. One of those state examples is the state of Iowa. In addition, Kansas, New Jersey, New Mexico, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, and West Virginia have chosen this option. The first thing the consumer is going to be presented with is an agreement screen to complete the form application. And really how this reads is Life Insurance Policy Locator Service. For the requester, it says, Dear Requester, the report form will be sent to a secure email to the State Department of Insurance, and a copy of the form will be sent to the email address you provide. The State Department of Insurance will then forward the form to the life insurance annuity companies licensed in this state. If a match is found by a life insurance or annuity company, the life insurance company will contact you if you are authorized to receive the information. The life insurance or annuity company may ask you for additional information. Please note the confidentiality of the of personally identifiable information is of highest priority. In other words, what we're asking them to do is agree to the completion of this form. When they do that, they will click the Go to Form button, and they will be prompted to fill out a set of information that will be mailed to that insurance company. The problem with this application is it's state by state. So if my parents lived in the state of Arizona, Maryland, and Kansas, I would have to send a form to each one of those states. The next option is a message with a jurisdiction phone number. Florida is an example. And the message that is popped up reads, the NAIC is building a national life insurance policy locator application. While under construction, the NAIC encourages you to contact the Florida Department of the Florida Insurance Department, and then it gives the phone number. The state's provided a phone number that they would like these phone calls to come to. And the last option selected by most of the jurisdictions right now is a simple pop-up message that reads, the NAIC is building a national life insurance policy locator application. Phase one of the project will be replaced by a national search by the end of the year. The existing URL that we're using for the phase one will be reused with phase two. Now we're going to talk about the heart of the phase two project. I'm going to talk a little bit about our requirements gathering process. The project team completed the initial requirements review with the regulator subject matter experts group on August 16th. The process consisted of a series of three meetings. The group members will also help beta test the application, and the jurisdictions that were represented in that group were California, Iowa, Missouri, Nebraska, New Hampshire, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, and Wisconsin. The group consists of states with applications in place as well as those who are waiting for a national solution. Rhode Island and Vermont have also agreed to help with beta testing, although they did not serve on the subject matter experts group. We also completed a series of three meetings with an industry focus group on August 23rd. The American Council of Life Insurers, or the ACLI, helped us form this group. The following companies were represented in the group: New York Life, Symetra, Mutual of Omaha, Lincoln Financial, Lincoln Heritage, Guardian Life, Homesteaders, CNO Financial, Pacific Life, Principal, TIAA, Torchmark, Western and Southern, Transamerica, and Voya, along with Ashley Beaudry from the ACLI. Our goal is to finalize the consumer application by September 15th. Both the regulator subject matter experts group and the industry focus group agreed on the details regarding both the request and the industry responses to the request. Our goal was to finalize the consumer application requirements by September 15th, and this has been accomplished.
Can we go on mute because we keep hearing a child in the background?
Can everybody put their phones on mute unless they have a question?
Not hold, just mute, please.
Requirements gathering. As we said, our goal is to finalize the insurer application requirements by September 30th. And honestly, that's why you all are on the call right now. We anticipate the finalization of the regulator reporting requirements by October 7th. We're going to talk a little bit about design and application testing.
Mary?
The NAIC anticipates that beta testing for the consumer and industry application will begin in October. This specific date is yet to be decided and will continue throughout the month. Both the regulator subject matter experts group and the industry focus group members have agreed to be involved in helping test on beta. We're looking at installation to production in the month of November, assuming that requirements do not change. The NAIC anticipates that beta testing for regulator reporting in the iSight application will begin in the month of November. Reporting aspect will begin as soon as beta testing is complete.
There's another one I can put on.
This is Donna Peterson at Catholic Financial. Like, can you mute the phones on your end because I'm hearing dogs and babies and I can't hear you?
Thank you. We're working on that.
I'm wondering if that's turned off. All right. Can everybody hear me?
We can hear you, but we still hear the background of a baby.
Yeah, okay. We still hear the baby.
All right. We're working on it.
Is anybody else still on?
We're all still on.
We're trying to.
Yeah, New York Life is still here.
I'm only hearing it on the webinar. I'm not hearing it on the teleconference.
I'm hearing it on the phones.
I heard it on the phone as well.
So did I.
Is the NAIC still on?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I'm not hearing them.
I'm still hearing the baby, but I'm only hearing it on my laptop. I'm no longer hearing it on the teleconference.
I can hear it on the phone.
Wow. I think they walked away from the.
Hello, everyone. We believe we have the issue corrected.
Yeah, we isolated the phone and we put them on mute. So if someone's on, we put on mute is trying to talk, you'll have to let us know if you need to ask a question, okay?
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Alrighty, now I don't remember where I'm at.
We were in beta testing.
We talked a little bit about beta testing for the consumer and industry application in October. We talked about anticipating beta testing with the regulator reporting on October 7th. Let's talk about the objectives for the consumer. The consumers would like to have the ability to be able to submit a single search. With the application designed the way it is today, like we said, if someone has a deceased parent or spouse or child that lived in multiple states, they have to currently submit a search for each one of those individual states and fill out what in essence looks like the same information but may vary slightly. We'd like to give them a single method of doing a search. They'd like the ability to be able to search against all participating life insurance companies and annuity providers that are filing an annual financial statement with the NAIC that has more than $50,000 in annual premiums.
Or annuity considerations.
Good job, Lois.
Hey.
Several of the states today require that the consumer submit a death certificate. The decision was made not to accept a death certificate. The real reason that they were doing was to reduce phishing, and it gave them a better opportunity of likelihood of a match against the death master file. And in all honesty, all they were doing was storing the death certificate, and with the exception of a few states, most of them are not forwarding that information to you all as insurers. We'd also like to provide consistent information regarding the requester and decedent. Today, there's differences in the data that's collected regarding that request, and the data elements have been standardized for presentation. So we're going to talk a little bit about what that consumer application may look like. We anticipate building and are in the process of building a welcome screen for that consumer. The consumer will access the application from the NAIC website. It's showing up pretty high in search engine optimization today, which is why we've chosen to reuse the URL. And basically what they're getting is a welcome screen. The page provides information for the consumer who's submitting the request. And as evidenced by the wording, there's some modifications expected. Obviously, you can see in one situation on the next screen, we have some verbiage that needs to be clarified. Once they've looked at the welcome page, they'll come out to the agreement details, and you'll notice there's a series of check boxes. And the consumer will have to check each one of those. And the verbiage is, I certify that I've made a diligent search of the deceased person's records and property, including bank statements, safety deposit boxes, and have asked remaining family members to identify an individual life insurance policy and individual annuity contracts that I have reason to believe are covered under the deceased persons named in the following request. I understand that the life insurance companies will respond directly to me only if they have a reason to believe that the deceased has any individual life insurance policies or annuity contracts, and I am the designated beneficiary. I further understand that the NAIC's only role in this request is to forward it to insurers. And where it says XXS, that's one of the verbiage pieces we have yet to clean up. I understand that a company may require additional information from me, including documentation of my legal authority to request or obtain information about the deceased or require a notarized death certificate. I understand that my privacy is of utmost concern and the protection of any personally identifiable information is maintained properly. I certify that the information I have provided is complete and accurate. The consumer will then enter their email address and confirm the email address. At this point in time, they can disagree. It'll go back to the welcome page, or hopefully they've agreed, and you will come to the next page. This is where the requester is entering information about themselves. It was designed so the requester must click through each of the sections, and then they will, The first section of this form is about the consumer who's doing the request. The information that they need to provide is a first name and last name. A middle initial and a suffix are optional, and you can tell that because they're not highlighted in red. An email address, optionally entering address number 2. Required will be the city, state, and zip along with the country code, which will default to the United States. A primary phone number. We decided when we were working with the insurers that a single phone number is more than adequate. And the relationship to the decedent. And the relationships to the decedents are, and it'll be listed in a drop-down box, are spouse, child over 18, executor, attorney or legal representative, and then there's a section that allows other with free form text information. By requiring all the details, each insurance company can follow their standard practices for contacting a requester if a policy or contact is found or contract is found. Next Kim? Page begins. Yes?
Yeah.
Do I have a question?
This is Sean with Mutual Omaha. Is there any chance that we could change that daytime phone number to primary phone number?
It is actually going to be listed as primary phone number in the real application.
Thank you.
These were just mock-ups for talking points. Although I should tell you the application looks very much like this. Anything else?
This is Lois Alexander. I just want to let you know that there will be some minor verbiage changes as we get, I'm working with legal right now on a few wording changes. So this is for, just so you can see what the process is and approximately what it's going to look like. But we appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Now we're going to get into the decedent details.
Sorry, can you repeat the drop down about the relationship? I thought I heard self in there.
No, spouse.
Spouse. Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
No problem.
Glad you clarified that.
Yeah.
Hey, I said executor instead of executor, so
twice
I think I said that.
All right.
So in discussions with both the regulators and the industry folks, we determined that the decedent's last name, date of birth, and full Social Security number are required fields, and you'll see that highlighted in red. This will increase the chances of a good match against the death master file and will decrease the amount of phishing requests that we have. The data elements to be provided as optional are first name, middle initial, suffix, email address, address 1, address 2, city, state, and zip, country code that will default to the United States, date of death, veteran status, other legal names previously used, and I know this is going to sound crazy, but we said we'd allow up to 10 aliases.
Other names, not aliases.
Other names, aliases, married last name, maiden last name, and up to 3 previous home addresses. At that point, the consumer will be able to click and go to go back a page or advance to the next button. Once they have advanced to move forward, they're going to receive a confirmation of request. And for some of you who were involved in the industry calls, this is the first time you're seeing a mock-up of this screen, but it's basically presenting back to the consumer the information that they entered. So whatever they've entered on the previous screens will be shown up on this screen. At this point in time, they will have the ability to be able to go back and correct the information, or they can cancel the request altogether, and some people will end up doing that, or they can submit the information. Upon submission of the information, they will receive an email confirmation that has a reference number along with the information that they provided on the form. Any questions? No? All right. We talked about receiving a confirmation number and the ability to be able to find when they do come back into the system, if they chose to do that, all that they are going to get back is information about next steps and their reference number. We will not provide them any information about the status of the request at all. Any questions? All right. We're running a little late, so when I start talking fast, just tell me to slow down. We're now going to start talking about your industry objectives. Initially, we know that we're going to be using an LDAP ID that will be built for all the companies that currently file MCAS filings. So if you file an MCAS for your market conduct annual statement process, that admin ID will be the initial login that we build for the application. For those companies who only sell in jurisdictions not using MCAS, the NAIC will reach out to them to be able to give them their initial logon. The identification of those insurers is currently in process. Each company is going to have, we should let you know there's not very many of those.
Right.
Each company will have an administrator login using the same MCAS LDAP ID who can do maintenance for the users within their company codes. The NAIC refers to those company codes as CoCodes. So if I say CoCodes, it's really a company code. Each user must have an LDAP ID for authentication, and then that administrator can go ahead and assign them roles. The industry focus group was in agreement with proceeding in this manner. It should be noted that the NAIC and the Regulator Subject Matter Experts Group anticipate that several of the applications currently in use by our jurisdictions will remain in place, particularly those states that have legislation at the state level requiring a specific life insurance policy locator process. One of those states, is an example, is New York. So let's talk about the industry objectives specifically. What this provides to you all is a single access point to use to download searches. Today, you have up to 17 different applications that are giving you information in one way or another. For some, you're receiving an Excel spreadsheet. For some, you're downloading information into an Excel spreadsheet. And in some, you actually receive an email or paper. So you'd have to enter all that information in. So this gives you a single access point to download searches. A broadcast email will be indicating that there are searches to be completed, will be sent out. And we've discussed with our groups that the best day to do that is the first business day of the month. We're discussing right now on how frequently you would like a reminder after that first email. So if you have any thoughts, please let us know. And then you'll have a single
access.
Can I ask
a question here?
Some
states have time frames that we have to do it. So will it be based on that? Like some states are saying within 30 days, some states within 15 days.
We're in discussions with the states about that now. Of course, our understanding is that New York is established by law. And so I doubt they'll be able to change that unless they change their legislation. So that's one state that we know of that simply will not be able to do it unless it's legislatively changed. But the others are open to discussion. So we're trying to nail that down right now. But probably 30 to 60 days, somewhere in there.
Yeah. And really the question kind of boils down to that if a consumer decided to go out and do a national search against New York and did it through New York's database, those rules would apply. The question we're trying to resolve is if they come into our application and do a search, does New York's rules really apply? And because this is a national search, we're not sure that they do, but we're working our way through that question. And it is a very good question.
Thank you.
And who was it that asked us that question?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Desma Johnson from Prudential.
Thank you very much. The last objective on this page, anyway, is a single access point to update the policy found, the policies and contracts that you found. Right now, again, there are 17 different ways that you could potentially do that. So this brings it all into one single application. The other nice benefit is standardization of the policy found information, and we're going to talk about that a little more when we show you some mock-ups of the screens. But it was of utmost concern to both the regulators and the industries when we met with both the groups that we come up with a sound method and a consistent method of reporting on those policy founds. And again, we also noted that the only contact going back to the consumer is from the insurer if they find a policy and that person has been authorized to get the information. And then we will obviously provide summary and detailed reporting regarding the search request, which may ease some of those questions on frequency and timelines. That's our goal. We're going to talk about the first screen. This is a mock-up of what the screen will look like, and we have not yet begun working on it. It's for discussion purposes only. Obviously, there's going to be a home page for you all. And then the main pages that we're going to talk about are download files and policy found. So what we're anticipating is that we will have a dynamic year that will show up. So for this first year, in November, the only thing you will see on a screen is the year and the month of November. And you would then go, I always want to go out and click on these. You will actually see November where it's in blue. It means the search has not yet, the search has data to be downloaded. You would click on that, and then you would download the data in CSV format. For ease of use, we're adding some additional information for you. So, for instance, where you see August 2017, and that August is in black, it's because there were no searches, there were no requests to be searched for that month that were submitted. Do we think it's very likely? Probably not, but we'd like to give you a visual representation. One of our regulators asked in the last meeting if we could also highlight when you have actually downloaded a search. So for instance, if you had downloaded November's data, it will then appear in a different color so that you can visually see you've done it, you've downloaded the data. And that's something new for the folks who served on the industry focus group where the regulators were trying to add some ease of use items for you. We do not anticipate that we will be archiving any of the searches as we move forward, so that as the time frames build, you'll see more and more years. And the files that you're downloading will come to you in CSV format. Now, I'm sure I'm going to get some discussion on the next screen.
Anthony from CIA. I got a question about the previous scene.
Okay.
How long will those files be available on that screen to download?
Forever.
Okay.
We don't anticipate going back, and it does give you a means to go back and look to, if you think one of those was a duplicate request, that you could go back and re-download if you wanted to.
Okay.
So whatever you choose to do with those CSV files when they're downloaded.
There's not currently a retention period that we anticipate having to
correct.
Clean up. And as long as we still have them on our database, we will still present them to you.
Okay. That was my concern. Okay. Thank you so much.
So this is the screen that generated probably the most discussion. And so we're going to give it a little bit of time, and then fortunately we don't have very many more screens coming behind this. But this is the industry policy found screen. The only time the insurer will respond to a search request is when the policy is found based upon a downloaded request. So something that's initiated from this process. The insurer will then submit the following required data: the request ID, the company code, the CoCode, the policy number, whether a claim has been initiated and it's a yes or no field, and the policy type. And we decided that the policy type was important because it plays into the policy face amount. So there'll be a drop down for annuity contract or life insurance policy.
We do believe
that if you're doing both, so say for instance you found a life insurance policy and you found a life an annuity contract or even a second life insurance policy, it would be a second request response because then the policy number which is required would probably be different.
Okay, so this is Desma from Prudential. So we have some that have annuities, they have retirement. We might have about three or four. So you're saying that we would have to do a request like this four times if we came up with four different policy numbers.
Correct. And, you know, we can certainly take back as a usability to be able to bring the request ID and the company CoCode into multiple screens if you choose. We can talk about that to aid you in that process. But the key element that makes each of them different is the policy number because we assume they would be different.
Right.
And the face amount.
Okay.
So we can do some things to hopefully make your usability a little easier for less data entry. And we should note, and that brings up a big question when you talked about retirement plans, this is only applicable to individual life insurance policies and individual annuity contracts. And the reason for that is group policies are covered by ERISA rules. And so the process is a little bit different.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I like that. Ooh. Any other questions? We've also excluded pre-need policies. So it's really truly life insurance policies and annuity contracts for individuals.
Okay, so when the states have these, when we receive the alerts from the states and they say all life insurance policies, we took that very literal. So we took that to mean our group life insurance and our retirement life insurance. So we're going through all the Prudential's areas to make sure that we've captured that. So is this different? I mean,
I think that's a good thing from your due diligence process, but this process is really only specific to individual life and annuities. But I'm assuming you're doing that because you found a match on the death master file and you're just doing your due diligence to pay out whatever you have sitting there. Is that correct?
We're doing even above just the death master file. Even if, you know, they're looking for any type of policies, we're going through that search also.
Oh, excellent. You know, that's an excellent question. We were assuming that most of the time you're matching against the death master file, and that's what that driver is.
No, this is New York Life, and our match is just to look for any business that the decedent might have with the company.
Right.
Oh, but you've really branched that out.
Yeah. So it's not just the death master file. We run that on a monthly basis, of course. But we're just looking to see if there is any type of contract with New York Life.
And we do the same here at Prudential, but I thought that was because of the alerts that we get. I thought that was the regulatory agreement, that it wasn't just the death master file.
Well, Well, the regulatory settlement agreement does not refer to lost policy locator services, and the death master file only relates to life, annuity, and retained asset accounts.
And I know that this is not the same as the death master file, and it's not the same as the unclaimed, property, model.
It is specific
to this particular, it actually is tied to the Retirement Securities Initiative that Director Huff, our president this year, initiated. He announced it at a couple of national meetings, and that's the reason for this. And he set it up because of the Joplin tornado initially. I mean, they were already putting one together, and they found they had, 127 people that were killed, and basically everything they owned, every shred of paper was just gone, and even their electronics. So it became very important at that point in time. And so this has become an important mission for him, for us to move forward with this. So it's kind of coincidental with the timing, but it's interesting, and it's an important issue, and it will keep you all from having to go through every different state separately, and it will help consumers to just have one contact point. So the idea was to just make this particular piece easier for everyone, but not to accomplish all.
Right. It doesn't make irrelevant the unclaimed property or the unclaimed life insurance pieces that are currently in place.
Right. Of course,
just in addition to it.
Of course, if you've escheated one of your policies or your annuity to the state, in accordance with their laws, then you may find it in your records and mark on here it's been escheated to the state, and then the person will have to initiate that separately through their state. So it kind of ties in, but it's not the same.
Right.
Is that helpful, I hope?
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So really all your reporting is is for these pieces for this particular request. Really good information as background for us as well to be able to explain a little bit better. The following data is optional. The check number, if you've written a check out, the policy face amount, and if the policy face amount entered is zero, you would be providing in the text field below it the information about why it was optional or why it was zero. And, you know, at one point in time we thought about doing a drop-down box with a list of reasons, but in speaking with the insurers, they said there's so many different reasons and it varies so much that it was better to leave it as a free-form text field. So do you all have any concerns or additional items that you'd like to see? And I should let you know for full disclosure that we did have some of the regulators in our last webinar with them request adding in active policy. And you know, we couldn't figure out if it was a yes or no field or a date. So do you guys have concerns if we added that as an optional field?
What does that mean, active policy?
That would mean if the policy, which sometimes happens, I understand, is if the person passed away and they never told anybody that they had a policy, and so the premium payments stopped being made, in some cases, of course, as I'm sure you're all familiar with, the premium would be paid out of the policy account on a monthly basis until it was depleted, and then the policy would be terminated for non-payment of premium when, in fact, the person had passed away, and that's why the premium wasn't being paid. So the states want to know if the policy became inactive shortly thereafter a person died, and that can be tied back to the fact that the premium payment stopped about the time they died.
So we were kind of assuming it would be an inactive policy date.
Hi, this is Stephanie with Transamerica. Right now I know there are states that ask us if we found an inactive policy, and the reason for that being is what you had just said. If the person, if it's within 12 months of their date of death, then we have to report that as an inactive match. So I would think that we would want that indicator so we could report that as a potential match.
Right. That's what the state said.
That's exactly what they said.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Any concerns?
This is Elena.
Salamone. I don't have really any concerns, but there are many different inactive statuses. I mean, you have policies that are deceased or surrendered, foreclosed, expired. And if are we going to be reporting on a match where the policy has already been terminated? For those type of inactive statuses you mentioned, that the premiums were being paid due to the death, we didn't know about the death, that should be all picked up with your death master file runs from the regulatory settlement agreement. So I don't have a concern. I mean, we could put that in, but it's just adding to what we're going to be responding to for this project. Right now, if you're just responding for policies where you have a so-called match where there's a benefit that's payable, it's going to limit the amount of work that we need to do. If we start responding to all types of matches on policies that had been terminated previously, then you're talking a bigger work effort.
Right, and this is still under discussion,
right,
which is why we bring it up at this point, because, of course, our time frame is short, but it was brought up by the regulators, the states, and, of course, you all have brought it up, too. So it's important to be discussed.
Right.
And how it will turn out, we don't know for sure yet, but we'll definitely be in touch about that.
And we were not planning on putting the reason that the policy was inactive. We could.
Yeah, the idea was kind of to make it simple.
Yeah.
For everybody. So, but these questions are good. They're very good. We're glad to have them, and please keep them coming because we do need to know about this so they can be addressed.
And did we have one additional comment? No? All right. We've already done the question. We've talked a little bit. We also know that we have regulator objectives, so we're going to make this really quick. They would like summary and detailed reporting regarding the search requests, and summary and detailed reporting regarding the status of the industry searches. And the way we're anticipating is any reporting they would have, you would have limited to your companies for full transparency. So, and they will not be contacting the consumers at all. That is your responsibility. So they may be doing some public service announcements on the number of policies that have been found and the dollar amounts of the face amounts, but that would be it. So that in essence is our project. I am hurrying because I don't think you really care that much about the regulator objectives, but their metrics for searches were the number of searches, the policy face amount, and they're really hoping to reduce the number of queries that come directly to their departments of insurance that then cause everybody some of those headaches. So in the long run, we believe that we have met objectives from three groups of people. So if you have any questions, you can contact myself or Lois Alexander. And do we have any additional questions now? We have about 4 minutes.
Kim, will you be sending out this slideshow?
I will. And
all
actually,
right.
We're in the process, Joe. We're going to record the slideshow tomorrow along with the verbal and putting it out on a YouTube video that you can watch.
Okay.
And we are planning on putting the PowerPoint presentation out on the website. And in actuality, you don't have access to StateNet. We're hoping to put it out there next week, sometime when we complete the last of the regulator or the insurer session.
Recording, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and actually the recording, I don't know, I think Course Call, the gentleman said that this is being recorded. So that we can put it out on a website so the other industry members can listen to it that weren't able to attend. I'm hoping that he did mention that this is a recorded session and it will be shared with others because we want everybody to know about it.
Right.
Any questions about that? And I will let you know where exactly that's going to be posted. I'm waiting for direction at this time.
Ashley, could I send you a copy of the PowerPoint, and maybe you could help us with that if you're still on
yes.
the call?
Yes,
okay.
That would be great.
Thank you. Anything else? Well, we thank you for your time. And we will be getting back with you on the inactive policy question.
Okay.
And you all have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.